Welcome to the show called Let's Talk Homeschool. I'm Davis, and I'm with my lovely wife, Rachel, and we are your hosts. This is the show where we talk about everything homeschooling, the how, what, when, where, and why. We want to affirm and encourage you in your decision to homeschool, and we also want to challenge and inspire you to take it all to new heights. Finally, we want to celebrate everything you get to experience in this adventure of a lifetime. Welcome to episode number 34. Today's show is titled Radically Intentional Parenting, Part 2 of 12, Family Worship. Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. So we've said that parenting is not for the faint of heart. It's so hard that some parents actually throw in the towel and just let it happen to them rather than taking the bull by the horns and being proactive and intentional. We've all seen the results of this kind of random, casera, whatever parenting. But remember this. Everything we discuss on this show is meant to help you as parents. We want you to be affirmed, encouraged, challenged, and inspired. So, Rachel, today we want to talk about church, devotions, and family worship. Why is this important, and why should we be intentional about this aspect of family life?
Well, so because, I mean, I believe this is the foundation of what we're trying to do. I mean, this is the core of everything we do is giving our kids God. If we don't do that, we have neglected the trust we've been given. We must give them God. And we do that in a variety of different ways. And first of all, we attend church weekly. That's what we do. And I say that as someone who was raised doing that. My family and I always went to church on Sunday. My dad was a preacher, so I was at church on Sunday. I was at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's what we did. That was one of the things that defined us as a family, is if the doors were open, we were at church. And I know that was your experience, too.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think you're right. This is fundamental. So we don't want to assume that a church decision has been made. Matter of fact, a lot of times when a husband and wife get married and they start having kids, it's possible they haven't discussed or made a decision about, are we going to go to church?
Right.
Or if we are, which one are we going to go to? Mm-hmm. And now that we have kids, how are we going to make this a part of our life? Or are we?
Right.
And that's where being intentional comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you grew up in a family that went to church every Sunday or you didn't, now is the time to say, we are or we are not. And of course, we would recommend that you choose to go to church and pick a biblically sound one that is focused on Christ. But that's a fundamental, foundational decision to start with.
Yeah, and I would say dads lead the charge. This is the decision that you can make. There are many good Bible-teaching churches across the United States. Get your family there on Sunday morning.
Right.
Do it. You won't regret it. Your kids will be blessed. Your marriage will be blessed. And this is an anchor for your soul. It talks about that in the book of Hebrews. We all need to have an anchor. We don't need to go out in the storms of life without a sure anchor. And so that's what church provides for you.
Well, and it does. It provides that anchor and that stability, that solid rock that's not going to shift with the winds of human wisdom, that can actually help you raise your family. And so one of the things we talked about in part one of this 12-part series is that we're introducing these radically intentional parenting topics in an order that's somewhat chronological in terms of when you face them. And so you're now married. You have kids. This is one of the first decisions to be firm on, to be absolutely decisive. We're going to church. This is the one we're going to. It's going to be part of our life.
Exactly. And you just show that to your kids. And this, you plan on Sunday morning. You get up, have breakfast together, go to the house of praise, go to the house of prayer, spend time worshiping God with other believers. And that kicks off your week. That's how you start your week together, is praising God at church.
Right. And it creates a great family tradition
as well.
The rhythms and routines that actually bring security into children's lives, to know that, oh, we go to church. This is what we do.
Exactly.
We don't have to. It's what we get to do.
But when you choose to do that, right, now you're setting a tone for your family. And so that is, you know, it's mandated in Scripture that we set aside a day to worship God. But then the key, I think, becomes step two in what we're talking about today is actually carrying that theme of worship through the rest of the week in way of family devotions.
Right. And so that's so the next thing that I'd like to focus in on is, you know, some people say, okay, how do I incorporate, you know, family devotions now
sure.
that I want spirituality to be an important part of our family life and culture. And I would recommend that you, at least because it helped us, is instead of thinking of incorporating a family devotion time, incorporate a family worship time. Mm. And it may sound like a very subtle difference, but a devotion can often sound like a check mark that you got to figure out how to squeeze in into the schedule, and it either happens or it doesn't happen. And so it's real easy to fall off the bandwagon. Whereas family worship, I think, creates more of a connotation of, okay, this is what we do. Our family worships God, and we're going to have a regular time to get together. And maybe that's at the meal times. Maybe that's when you wake up or when you put the kids to bed. But there'll be some regularity to it. But if you miss one of the appointed times that you were planning and hoping to get together, you're still having family worship because you find that next natural opportunity to do that because that's what you do as a family.
Well, again, once you get into a rhythm, right, of doing this, like we like to do it at breakfast because we do it while we're doing breakfast. You usually do some sort of a scripture reading and we try to get on our knees and pray together. We're not the Von Trapp family singers, so we do sing every now and then, but not all the time. But we try to hold it before the kids, a holy, mighty God. And once you're in that rhythm, right, the kids come to expect we're going to do a reading at breakfast,
right,
or we're going to go pray after this. And again, it just becomes part of the flow of what you do.
Right.
And the hardest part is starting, I think. And that's what you're afraid to start, right, because maybe you didn't have it. And just confession time, neither of us were raised with family worship being a thing in the homes.
No.
That we grew up in. And so we've had to sort of figure this out. We knew we wanted to, but I would say that it's kind of scary to start that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it is. And yet for me, and what I hope will be a motivation for our listeners, is the classic verse in Deuteronomy 6, where the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to teach this diligently to your children. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit, and when you walk along the way. And so if you really dissect that and just look at it naturally, it's like, okay, I need to teach my kids to fall in love with God. And they're probably going to see that best if they see me fall in love with God.
Right.
So how I go about my day
right.
is going to be a huge example to them of what it looks like to fall in love with God. And then, you know, two of those times when you rise up and lie down, that's getting them up and putting them down in the bedroom. So
right.
half of Deuteronomy 6 can happen just as you put your kids to bed and get them up in the morning. And how you just go through that routine and make it a God-honoring family worship time as opposed to rushing them to bed and trying to quickly get away. Linger with them. Pray with them. Read some scripture. Talk to them. Assure them. Have a relationship with them. And then the same in the morning. Don't let it be a rushing, oh, we're late, we got to get up. Go in there with bright eyes, with good news, with a song in your own heart, whether figuratively or literally, that shows that there's worship in the house and the kids can now be a part of it.
So you can't give what you don't have. So if God is real to you and he's big to you and he's faithful, you will naturally give that to your kids. So if this all sounds overwhelming to you, maybe you back up a little bit and have a little personal assessment of where you are with God. Where's your faith with
mm-hmm.
God? Is he big? Do you know who he is? Are you personally worshiping yeah. him and honoring him in word and deed? Because related to all this is I think it's really powerful for your kids to see you spending time in the word. One of my favorite memories when we were first married is we lived really close to your grandparents, Nani
mm-hmm.
and Poppy. And we would go over on Saturday mornings to help them do different things. We'd plant rose bushes, paint their little out barn and all those kind of things. And Nani would cook enough food for 45 people when it was just the two of us coming mm-hmm. over. But I remember when we would go on over on Saturday mornings and Poppy would come to the door and we'd walk in. He'd let us in and we'd walk in and over on the kitchen table there would be his Bible because he'd been reading his Bible. And he didn't have to say anything. It was just obvious that that's what he had been doing. I think it's powerful. I think sometimes we think that our quiet time, we have to be all by ourselves and nobody needs to see it. I think it's a powerful testimony to our children for them to see us in the Word, the Bible on our laps. And so it's not something that you have to get up super early so the kids don't see. I think it's something you can dovetail the kids into and talk to them about what you read this morning and what the Lord showed you and all of that. It's supposed to be so interwoven in our lives as you rise up, as you sit, as you walk along the way, and as you lie down. That means all the time. And not just one moment, but all the time.
So true. And what you said is very sobering, to think that you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Another way to say that is your kids' faith may not be any bigger than your own. Mm-hmm. And the God they worship may not be any bigger than the God you worship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to ask myself, am I worshiping a little tiny God that may or may not be able to help me out, may or may not love me if I do something wrong? Or am I worshiping the creator of the universe, who has everything in his control, who is loving and holy and just, but merciful and incomprehensible, and yet gives us some access to know him? Your mind can be blown as you start thinking about this and trying to seek God, but that's what God wants for each one of us, and that's what your kids can grow from as they see you work through them.
So I'm just going to say now, in this COVID-19 thing, all of our kids are watching us. How are we responding? Are we responding in faith? Or are we responding in fear? And this is the time that our kids are watching to see just what kind of God do we believe in. And it's an amazing opportunity to point them to God. We've had several conversations with all of the kids.
Very true.
And just talking to them about, you know, God's doing something here. He's moving. He has got a plan. He is sovereign. And some of that's been really hard. All of our kids have had different things that they've lost this whole thing.
Right.
Whether it's soccer season or a graduation or time with friends or a job. It's been a lot of upheaval for all of them. Mm-hmm. And just continually pointing them towards God's sovereignty and his faithfulness during this time, that's what makes a difference.
It has. Well, there's so much more we could say on this, but it's time to bring this conversation, as all of them, to a close. So thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us next time. And if you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. We want to thank our sponsor, Apologia Educational Ministries. Their mission is to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the Christian faith. Apologia is the number one publisher of creation-based science and Bible curricula for homeschool families, with over 110 number one awards covering a time span of more than 13 years in a row. Now that's impressive, but more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA and the world. Go to apologia.com, a great place to explore creation. You can also go to homeschool-101.com and sign up to receive email updates, devotions, many other resources, and of course, podcast updates. Finally, feel free to send us an email with comments, suggestions, or any other feedback. The address is podcast@apologia.com. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.